everyone, welcome to the Made It in Music podcast. I'm Riley Taylor, our community manager here at Full Circle Music, and I'm so excited for you to hear this upcoming episode because today we get to hear from Tim Hunzi on music publishing. Tim is the VP of publishing at Big Machine Music. Armed with a degree in recording industry management, Tim founded Rhythm and Grooves Records after graduating from Middle Tennessee State University. His journey includes successful roles at Great Cumberland Music Group and Stage 3 Music Group, where he achieved numerous number one singles as general manager. In 2011, he co-founded Parallel Music Publishing, contributing to 5 number one singles in 5 years, and later joined Anthem Entertainment Group. In spring of 2021, Tim became VP of Publishing at Big Machine Music. This was recorded at our 2022 Music Makers Bootcamp here in Nashville, Tennessee. You can learn more about songwriting and find other music industry resources at fullcirclemusic.com. For now, let's dive into the episode.
All right, I'm a publisher. I don't care if you're an artist or a producer or a songwriter. The biggest question I get asked, when I ask somebody for songs, well, my it's not done, the production's not done. I don't care. I just need a guitar vocal or piano vocal on your iPhone. I'm a publisher. I can hear a good song in any level it's at. I get kind of entertained. I get it if you're a producer, for you producers out there, like you want me to hear the best version of whatever it is you're working on so I know you're a good producer. Understood. That's a little bit different relationship. Artists, I get it if you're working on a project, but I'm a publisher. I'm listening for the song first and foremost, right? I can hear your voice. I can hear if the song works. I can hear if it connects. I've listened to millions, probably, of work tapes in my life. That's what I like. Though you don't have to spend money. You don't have to go put on this full-blown project. Again, if you're an artist, that's a little different combo, and a producer. But a lot of times I see people spending all this money as they're beginning their journey on these songs that might not take you, elevate you to that next level when you could have just sent me a work tape. So don't be scared to send work tapes to publishers. This is a personal preference for me because I've been groomed that way, and I like the stripped down, authentic version of what a song is in its rarest form. Sometimes those are my favorite. So if you called my office line, they will tell you, no, we don't take unsolicited material. You are correct. But then you go, well, how do I meet you? How do I get there? I just told you, same thing. I figured out ways to meet people. I don't know how it was going to be, but I definitely will listen to unsolicited material. Here's my response to that as well. My first and foremost job is my writers and who I have signed. They're going to take precedence over everything. And then I also have people that do refer music to me, like lawyers, other friends, my writers, people I already have relationships with. My point in mentioning that, I have a lot of listening to do, as well as run a business, and I have a wife and kids, so the whole life thing. But you get really busy, so what you have to do is be patient and understand I may not get to it, but I am just speaking for Tim here. I'm not speaking of an industry. I will listen to stuff because I have a neuroses. I feel like if I delete that song that somebody randomly sent me in my email, it could be the next greatest thing ever, and I have FOMO. So, yes, I will listen to at least a verse and a chorus. Can I say I do that every single time? No, but probably 90% I listen to everything. I do not respond to everything, though. I'll be honest. I don't always send a response email, which usually means I'm passing. And if it is an outside, I at least try to acknowledge that I listen to it so you know. You know, I know it's annoying when you send something into the abyss and the people don't respond. But that does not apply to everybody in the music business. But I'll share this story. I had a young artist that I'd signed at Parallel, a company I owned. And he said the same thing. That's why it's a funny story. We were doing an NSAI panel, and he said, yeah, first thing I got when I moved to town is the one thing you don't do is send unsolicited emails to everybody. So he said, well, the first thing I did was send out a bunch of unsolicited emails to everybody. And funny enough, only one person responded. It wasn't me. He didn't send me the music. But a friend of mine heard it, and I had mentioned to that friend, hey, man, I'm looking for a writer. Maybe an artist would even be better. And I saw him out at the Red Door one night, and he's like, hey, man, I know you're looking. I might have somebody. We're not going to do anything at my company, but I want to send you this stuff. And he sent it to me. I was blown away. I was like, who is this kid? My honest thing, I brought my creative director in. I played it for him. I said, am I missing it, or is this pretty amazing? He goes, no, that's amazing. So I called him immediately. His name was Joey. Called Joey, and I figured out pretty quick. He'd only been here 8 months. Nobody knew who he was. First time in my career, he came in, sat on my couch, played me five songs. Three of them were 100%ers, and I offered him a deal on the spot. And we got him a deal on Sony Records, and he's still doing it. It's been COVID, and it's been delayed getting all his stuff out. But so my point is, yes, you're going to get no unsolicited material. Do with what you want with that. But have I signed stuff from unsolicited material? Absolutely. So, you know, that's kind of how I roll. And you got to, again, you can't keep doing it. If somebody's really clear, I would advise not necessarily sending it, but do with that information as you want. But yes, if you're a songwriter and somebody else is singing it and you want to start, whether it's a SoundCloud thing, like this is my writer songs and all that, absolutely, market yourself. You have so many tools to market yourself. Put it out there. I don't care. Like now the whole, it used to be back in the day, like don't put anything, no. All bets are off, man. Even with artists, just you keep driving the content. Keep, you're going to hear there's marketing panels here. You've got to build your brand. And as a writer, you can still do that. I would think SoundCloud's one of the better ones for that because it's not like it looking like an artist page, but you can start sound. And I get a lot of SoundCloud links. That's a usable one, too. It's actually really good for song exclusively songwriters. But pick your poison. You know, there's so many of them out there. You can do whatever. But any way you can build, I see hands, but I'm going to talk for just a minute on this. Like, any way you could do to get your music out there, playing write-arounds, putting music out, creating content, videos, TikToks, all those things are important. Because, yes, we use all those things to find talent now. I peruse TikTok. I have teams of people. I'm Big Machine Publishing, but we have the label, and they got oodles of people just pulling data all the time, and they're always going, hey, check this out, check this out. So if you can get something trending or get something moving, that's just going to help you in the long run. And it'll also help you learn. If you can play out, do all the ride-arounds. Do everything. Get out there, and because I go to a lot of ride-arounds. You never know who's sitting in the audience, even if it's a small coffee house in Franklin, because again, I get a lot of my stuff from references. A lot of the music that I hear is somebody going, hey, man, have you heard so-and-so? Or I was at this show the other night. You need to go check out so-and-so. And we talk about that amongst ourselves, even as competitors. Because if I'm not going to do something with somebody and I believe it's really good, I'm going to call up my buddy, hey, you should check this out. I can't do anything with this, but this person deserves a deal. So market yourself extensively if you can. I'm never going to say don't copyright your material. But I find a lot of people, especially like, do we copyright everything we're doing? We don't, just to be clear. Active material, yes. Anything that we know is cut, we will. Why? There is so many chains of data that you can look at to prove that you started something. Timestamp it. Do y'all know what a DOC is? Data of creation, right? No? Okay. When you write a song, make sure the day you start that song, you mark that on the lyric sheet, or make sure that, you know, when you record it, anything you record it on your iPhone or whatever is going to have a date stamp on it. So you are protected in the sense that somebody can, you can prove you wrote that at that given time. So I just think if you're starting out, it's just an extreme challenge and waste of money to copyright everything. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, not saying don't do it, but if you don't have funds to do it, it's not the most important thing anymore, because you just got to prove when you wrote it. And if you've got an email chain with your co-writers and you can prove, like, in my calendar I had this day set up with so-and-so, and look, the lyrics on the lyric sheet, and they can look at the data on your computer, you can tell somebody created it. And we use that in the business. So I've worked at various companies. Some companies do copyright every single song. Others, we just trust the fact that we have chains of data to show that it was written when it was written. Hopefully that answered your question. It's a good question, but they used to say mail yourself a letter with the lyric sheet in it or something, and that used to work because you could see the date, but you don't even have to do that. Email it to yourself if you're concerned, and you'll show up. So if you're basically what I'd call a lyricist and you're not really doing the melody thing, that is way harder on me, I'm going to be honest. And I don't know an easy way to say it, because I have had people send me lyric sheets, and I can look at them and say it's a pretty cool song. Like, lyrically, they know what they're doing. But what I encourage you, if you're just a lyricist, you have got to find a creative partner. You've got to find someone to help you co-write your songs or put music to it to build it out. It's the hardest thing. I have writers that are lyric heavy. That's kind of their thing, but generally they can still put music down to it. And so, Yeah, you can sing it without accompaniment. I hear what you're saying. That's still really hard. If somebody just sends me an a cappella version of a lyric, it's still kind of tough. I can hear it, but I would just encourage, my encouragement on that is to find a partner, a co-writer that can help you do that, because that is the hardest one to kind of listen through. I mean, as much as I just said I just need a work tape version, if you're just singing kind of a melody to a lyric acapellically, it's really tough to kind of figure out what that writer's doing. So find some co-writers, help build up a repertoire of full songs. And I even told my own daughter this, who is a singer and does the same thing. I'm like, you got to find some people to build out your music. It's okay, so genre. Genre matters less and less and less and less anymore, to be honest. The one distinction I'll make is the Christian market, particularly here in town, and the country and the pop side of it are still a little different, because I personally don't have as many contacts in the Christian world to help you out. So if you're leaning more heavily into Christian, then yes, you should probably meet with the Words and the Sparrows and the ones like Full Circle and those ones that are more involved in that. If you're telling me that's kind of something you're doing, but you're more wanting to get in the country world, then lean into more of a country. But in general, I don't care if you write pop, country, sync. We do it all now, pretty much everybody. Big Machine just opened a Big Machine West office. Most every, even the pop people have somebody in town representing them. We just had a number one pop hit by the artist Gail, ABCDEFU. Yeah, probably not the best thing to say in a church, but that's the, it was a global hit, and the song and the writers and everything was out of Nashville, Tennessee, and it was a global smash. So the boundaries of what that is are way different. People don't look at genre as much anymore. So almost any publisher can kind of be, have a broader reach. But definitely do your research. If you're really good at both, do your research and understand what publishers truly are able to work both sides. Not all of them are good at that. A lot will say they can do both, but you might want to do a little research and go, do they really have connections in LA? Do they really have connections in film and TV? And that's on you. And man, you have no excuse anymore. You can Google anything. I research people all the time. You can kind of figure out if they're legit and what's going on. I'll give you my last little thing, because I always like to say this. Sometimes this stuff sounds heavy, but my number one thing is passion. I've been doing this for 30 years, and what drives me, I get up in the morning, I was super excited driving here. I love what I do. I freaking love it. Like, I love, love, love it. Outside my faith, my music is the number one thing in my life, and you need to have that. If you really want to make it, you have to have it. I'm not a backup plan kind of guy. Never have been. Never gonna. From age 13 to now, all I was ever going to do is music. Now, I'm not going to say you cannot write in that world and it be more of a side project or a hobby. I don't want to use that word in an unintentional sleight of hand, because I'm not meaning it that way. If you have something, you want to do that. But for those that are looking to make a career, it has to be everything. It has to be. You have to be driven, because it's hard. This business is hard. It's emotionally taxing. You ride these crazy roller coasters. You get holds, and maybe you get a cut. Maybe it'll come out. Maybe you're going to get a single. Maybe you won't. But you got to be passionate about it, man. And it's the most awesome job in the world. Being a songwriter is the greatest job ever. You guys get to go in a room and create something. Do y'all know how freaking cool that is? You create something out of nothing. And you can have a song that somebody hears, and it changes their life. The number of letters I've read that my writers have gotten on some of the songs they've written are just amazing. And that is just so cool. So remember that when you're in those rooms, that's the goal. More than making money, more than being crazy successful, you're going to change somebody's life. You're going to put your story down, and somebody's going to connect to it. And that's going to be the coolest feeling ever. So remember that. Be passionate. Always be passionate.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Made It Music Podcast. Make sure to check out our other episodes. We have well over 100 interviews with some of the top music industry pros, many here in Nashville and many from all over the world. Subscribe to make sure that you automatically get future episodes, and leave us a review if you loved it. It would really help us out. Or send an email to support@fullcirclemusic.com if you have ideas for how we can improve the show. See you in the next episode.